Good Wednesday evening to our Central Baptist Church family, friends, and viewing family that are with us and joining us this evening. This is Wednesday evening, July the 22nd, as we continue our Bible study. I want to let you know where we're looking tonight. Actually, we're going to be looking at passages that are going to come out of the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. If you don't have your Bible, you can hit that pause and run over there and get it real quick, because we'd love to have you join us. Today we're going to talk about some really, really critical things when it comes down to our spiritual life. And I want you to think about this for just a moment. Think about your testimony. Now, when we think about testimony, testimony can take on a couple of different aspects. Sometimes people say, well, what was your testimony about what happened in a particular type of a circumstance, situation, or issue? But I want us to really think back to the time when we gave our life to Christ, our testimony, what led us to opening up our heart to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have a testimony. If you're a believer today and you have trusted in Christ, you have a testimony, and it is a testimony that is critical. God has placed you where He has placed you because those that are in your sphere of influence need to hear your testimony. They need to hear what God has done for you. And it's no accident that you have the friends that you have. It's no accident that you work in the place that you work. But God has placed you meticulously there to get you to take that moment, those times, and those opportunities to share what God's done in your life, how He became your Savior, what was taking place. Today in Acts chapter 26, we're going to look at the testimony of Paul. Now, it kind of goes back to when he was Saul, before he had the name Paul, and it deals in the aftermath of the road to Damascus. Of course, the road to Damascus is part of his testimony, but we see this particular point in Acts 26 where he's actually been arrested, and he is coming before the king. And in the midst of that, he's having an opportunity to tell his testimony, what it was that the Lord did in his life. Let's look today together at Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 9. Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 9. It says, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While this occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Verse 15, so I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of the sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Verse 24, now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the word of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escaped his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the fact that, Lord, you still use people to proclaim your word. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation. And Lord, we pray that today you will speak to our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand what our testimony is and how it can be a valuable asset in reaching others with the gospel of Christ. Lord, bless our time this evening. May you enhance us. May you just move us in your direction. And Lord, I even pray that if there's one who is hearing this message tonight, I pray that if salvation is not within their heart, if Jesus is not there, that today truly would be the day they would open their heart to salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So Lord, bless our time. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at that particular passage, what we see is here's a time where Paul has been arrested. He has actually been taken before King Agrippa. There's an audience there that's watching everything that's taking place. They have charged him with blasphemy. They charged him for promoting Christ. And along the way, Paul is actually given his testimony here. He begins in those passages that we read, starting with verse 9. He starts off and he begins to tell the story about how he was a persecutor of the Christians. And here's the thing that's very interesting to understand is that Paul believed he was doing the right thing. You know, he actually went out and got official papers saying that it was all right for him to go out and to persecute Christians, and he was on a journey. I mean, whatever Paul did, he put all of his heart and all of his soul into it. And he had the belief that what he was doing was 100% correct until he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He's sharing that as part of his testimony here when he is appearing before King Agrippa. And he talks about how the fact that he met the Lord on that road, and it even says that the Lord said to him, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why is it that you're doing these things? And at this particular point, Saul begins to understand that he is doing the wrong things. He turns his life over to Jesus and immediately becomes one of the greatest preachers that we had ever known. I've often kind of chuckled. I said, I don't think I would have wanted to have been in Paul's first revival meeting, because it was very shortly after this road to Damascus scene that he gives as part of his testimony. He goes into town, and the next thing you know, yeah, he's wanting to preach the gospel, but Paul, as Saul, is already notorious for being a persecutor of Christians. How would you like to have attended Paul's first preaching meeting? But we do know that when he made a mistake, he said, I made a mistake. You know, I was wrong, and he corrected it. He went the right way. He became one of the greatest servants of Christ that there ever was. So I want you to think about your testimony for a few minutes. What would you say to somebody to tell them about Jesus? Now, remember what a testimony is. We've said this many, many times within the church. If you're going to be a witness can only testify to the things that they've seen. And the Lord wants us to be a witness. He wants us to share our testimony and be a witness. Well, a witness can only talk about the things that they have seen personally and the things that they have heard. So when the Lord tells us he wants us to be a witness, really what it's about, it's about us just telling other people about the things that the Lord has done in our lives, the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard. Think about your personal testimony for a few minutes. If somebody were to say to you, yeah, tell me about when you met Jesus, could you give personal testimony? Think about what those things included. You know, the thing that Paul was talking about later on in this particular instance in Acts chapter 26 is the fact that he talks about Jesus who lived that sinless life, who was crucified, who was buried, and who was resurrected on the third day. Those are the elements of the gospel in which Paul preaches. Now, God gave him some holy boldness as he took those opportunities to stand in a court and to stand before all those people. And think about what Paul's life was like before. Think about what your life was like before. When you're giving your testimony, you know, one of the greatest aspects of what you could do is share with people the things that you have been saved from. And one of those that must not be left out, it's not just about what God's done in your here and now or what he's going to do in your future, but think about the future of eternity. What is it that God has done through Christ for you in regard to eternity? I mean, that's one of the greatest aspects of living the Christian life is that we should be living for eternity. I know that I thought about this recently, particularly as we deal with death of loved ones, death of friends, family members, death of people that we know. It's sad. Our hearts break for that. But for the believer, that is actually victory. I think sometimes we get our focus wrong when we're at the funeral of a believer. We use the term that we're here to celebrate their life, which is really what we should be doing. We celebrate their life. We're sad because they're gone. But you know what? We should be living for all of eternity. And we should be happy for the fellow believer that has reached that pinnacle and seen Jesus face to face. Man, what a joy that really is. But think about your testimony. Think about what it is that you can share with other people. You know, after Paul's conversion, the message that he began to preach, and he began to preach in Damascus and as he went by, was Jesus Christ, you know, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. And that is the gospel message, folks. That is really all that we have. Why did Paul say to the Jews when they seized him to kill him, what was it that he said to them? And I can just picture when he was down there and he was, particularly when he was before King Agrippa, he's really pouring it on. He is not in this fear type mode. You know, Festus is there listening to him. He's giving this testimony, and then look down in verse 19. Verse 19 says, Paul says this to Agrippa. He says, verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting repentance. So he's laid it all out there. He said, I listened to what it was that the Lord told me on the road to Damascus. I went out, I've been preaching. This is what I've been doing. He has laid out the truth in testimony. Verse 21 says, for these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Now he's saying the Jews seized me in the temple for preaching the gospel message. And says they tried to kill me. Now, here's something I want us to understand, because there's some fallacy that goes around in our day and age when people talk about testimony and they talk about Christ, they talk about being a believer. There are some people out there who will preach to you that, well, you know what, if your life is just in the vortex of the swirl of the toilet and life is bad, you know, you just turn to Jesus and everything is going to be all right. Well, that is true in the long run. But that may not be true in the short term. In fact, what happens is when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you can expect more persecution. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, Satan can't stand that. He will actually turn the heat up on you. Think about Paul's situation for a minute. When he was a persecutor, he held a lot of power. He held those papers. He went around being a persecutor of Christians. Nobody was on his back. Nobody was creating havoc and mayhem for him. It wasn't until after he professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life and he began preaching the gospel that people started trying to kill him. at this particular point, it says that he even went to the place where the message of our Lord should be received. He was in the temple. And it says that, look at verse 21. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. They even tried to kill him for preaching while he was in church. Think about that. So I want you to understand something. The Lord's going to give you a different perspective in your life. But that doesn't mean that everything in your life is just going to smooth out. In fact, oftentimes, it could be more challenging in your life to accept Christ. Now, I know that doesn't sound like something that would make you want to say, ooh, I want to run out and accept Jesus today. But the long term, the benefits, and the fact that the Lord will help you view things with a different perspective than you did when you were lost makes all of the difference in the world. You know, Paul at this particular point, when he's at a trial, he's before the king, which could take his very life at that moment. But with the holy boldness, he stood up, he presents his testimony, and his testimony is about Jesus Christ, you know, Son of the living God, the resurrected Savior. And then notice what he says. It says, he's telling them, he said, they tried to kill me. Verse 22 says, therefore, having obtained help from God. Did you get that? Help from God. Folks, you and I can't do this on our own. We can't make this daily walk on our own. We can't handle the trials, the tribulations, and the situations on our own. But with the help of God, we can. And as a born-again believer, that's what we have. Notice what he said. Therefore, having obtained, verse 22, help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great. In other words, there's no socioeconomic pecking order with Paul. Small and great. Those that are economically and financially insignificant, and those who are economically and financially significant. Rich or poor, red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. That's what Paul is saying right here. He says, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Folks, that is the gospel message. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the only message that we have. I have said this very, very often and will continue to say it as long as God gives me breath. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. And it is through his crucifixion and his resurrection that you and I can have eternal life. Now, then in verse 24, it says, now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. Festus is a little uptight with him, and he says this with emphasis. He says, I can't believe you're saying what you're saying. You know, and in other words, he says, so much education. I think one of the toughest things that I have realized that in this day and age is simply the fact that some of the hardest people to reach with the gospel message of Jesus Christ are those who are very intelligent, because they have a hard time understanding the concept of faith. They have a hard time believing in something that they can't see. Now, in personal one-on-one conversations, most of the time I can prove to them that their faith is a little bit more than what they think, because they actually do believe in some things that they can't see. But we have to bring that along with our Lord and Savior. But he said, Festus is saying, you're mad. I can't believe what you're saying. Verse 25 says, Paul gives him an answer. And he says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. Now, it gets really interesting right here. As Paul continues, it says, for the king, before whom also I speak freely. Now, you got a picture. Paul has probably turned to Festus and basically says, Festus, you just said I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. I'm telling you these things. And then in the same light, he kind of turns because King Agrippa is there. So he begins to address Agrippa in his answer to Festus, and he says this. He says, before the king, verse 26, before whom also I speak freely, know these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing is not done in a corner. So when he's sitting there going, he's like, it's like he's sitting there answering Festus, but he says, ask Agrippa. Agrippa knows, the king knows these things. I'm not talking secretly. Surely these things haven't escaped him. Surely he has been paying attention to what's taking place and going on. Well, obviously, even if King Agrippa wasn't, at that point he'd be going, oh yeah, that's right, I know exactly what's taking place. But I believe that he did know. And Paul is pointing that out. He is sitting there saying, none of this took place in a vacuum. Yeah, you knew it. King Agrippa knew it. And then he says, in verse 27, he says, he addresses him. He says, King Agrippa. Now, he's moved his answer away from Festus, and he is actually focusing on King Agrippa at this point. He says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Now, think about that for a minute. He's just said that to King Agrippa in a crowd. You know what he's basically just asking? He just basically asked him, he said, do you believe what the prophets are saying? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who is resurrected, the one who is going to be coming again? Do you believe that? He calls him out on the carpet. Do you believe the prophets? Now, he wasn't asking if he believed in the prophets. He was asking him if he believed the message that the prophets were preaching, which is Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. Now notice what Agrippa says. Agrippa then gives him an answer in verse 28. It says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God, this is verse 29, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. And what Paul was saying is that everybody listening would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what he said. And he said, that's what I wanted. Folks, let me tell you, those are some of the saddest, verse 28 are some of the saddest words that you will ever read in the Bible. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. You know what almost means? Almost means you ain't made it there yet. So yeah, at this particular point, Agrippa did not open up his heart to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there are going to be people around you and in your life, and maybe even you, that have not opened your heart to Christ yet. I say this so many times, being a believer in Christ isn't about going to church. It's not about doing a system of rights, and hopefully if your ledger of rights will outweigh your ledger of wrongs. It's not about that. It's not about what you do. It's about who you know. It's about believing that Jesus Christ truly went to Calvary's cross. It's about believing that he was buried in that borrowed tomb, and 3 days later he arose conquering hell and death. And for all who would believe, he offers salvation freely. Let me ask you, have you trusted Christ? Have you opened your heart? Have you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior? You know, one sin can send you to hell. One bad thought, all those things. But Jesus said, I paid it all. And my forgiveness covers the sins, past, present, and future. Has there been that time when you've said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe what you did on Calvary's cross, and I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive my sins and to save my soul? Listen, folks, he'll do that. If you've never done that today, I want to urge you to do that. Listen, right now, just bow your head and ask the Lord to forgive your sins and to come into your life and save your soul. He'll do it, and there will be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven. So you know what? If you do that, then please contact us and let us know. Our website is www.oakridgecbc.org. Contact one of our staff members. My email's on there. I would love to hear from you. We'll try to get you some material to help you along your journey of spiritual growth as you come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you might be able to take the personal testimony that you have in that moment, in this moment, and be able to share that with other folks, that they too might come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to have a testimony, and the Lord wants us to share that. You know what? There will be times when you will hear people, much like Agrippa, who will say, almost, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. But here's the one thing that I have to go back to so many times. God doesn't hold us responsible for the results of our sharing our testimony or the results of our being a witness. He just holds us accountable to do it. The results are up to him. The results are up to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the willingness of every person to surrender unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what, isn't it great to have a testimony? Think about your testimony. You know, one of the subjects and things that we've done in the past before, and if this is a challenge for you today, I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to write your testimony out. Carry it around with you if you need to. Take the opportunity to share your personal testimony with those that you know, your friends, your family, your coworkers. And here's why. Nobody's testimony is like yours. Yeah, nobody can reach the people that God has placed in your path for you to be able to reach. Would you be a willing vessel in the hands of an almighty God? And all he's asked us to do is share our story. Tell him what we've seen. Tell him what we've heard. And prayerfully, you will hear those that will take the time to trust in Christ. Yeah, like I said, I still think about Agrippa. Almost you persuaded me. Man, what kind of boldness did it take for Paul to be in a court of law where he could have lost his own life for the testimony that he just gave? But God gave him the boldness, and he'll do the same thing for you. I always tell people, I believe the term I use is just Luke 12:12. It says that we may not know what to say, but when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will give us the words that we need to say. So let me do this. Let me have a word of prayer with you. I'm also going to go ahead and ask a blessing upon the offering. We just encourage folks since a lot of folks are still not comfortable getting back out and meeting in person at the church. There are still ways that you can be faithful to your tithe. You can either bring it by the church during office hours, which are 9 to 4, Monday through Thursday. You can drop it off there. You can mail it in at P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27310. Or you can go online. You can go to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org, and there's a giving tab there. You can click that, and that will be able to allow you to continue to maintain your obedience in the way of giving and also support the work. Listen, if you're not part of our church family, I want to encourage you to support our ministry, to be able to get the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out and about. So if you don't have a home church that you're supporting, please take the time to help us be able to continue to maintain the ministry that will touch lives, not only in our own backyard in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, but also around the world. And we thank you for tuning in. Let me have a word of prayer with you, then I'll give you what the scriptures are for our next week's study. Okay, let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We thank you so much for salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, you have called us to be witnesses. May we be faithful to do so. Lord, may we take the times, the moments, and the opportunities to be able to share our story, the wonderful things you've done, the things we've seen, the things we've heard about you, and just brag on you to other folks that they may also have the desire through the conviction of the Holy Spirit to give their heart to you. Lord, I thank you for support. I thank you for the opportunity that even in the middle of a pandemic to be able to put the word out. Thank you for those who faithfully support your work. Lord, those that are true tithers that give that your work may be going out. I ask a special blessing upon the gift as well as the giver. And Lord, just do something really special in their lives. Thank you for these moments that we've had to spend together as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you for joining us. Let me go ahead and give you the scripture passages for next week. Go ahead and start now. Your readings will pick up at Acts chapter 26. So Acts chapter 27. We're doing Acts 26 today. So Acts chapter 27 through Romans chapter 3. That's Acts chapter 27 through Romans chapter 3. And next Wednesday evening, we will actually be looking at the passages that come out of Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. So please take those times, one chapter a day. Don't try to get it all. Don't try to get ahead. Just concentrate on what it is that God can show you, what it is that he wants you to learn from his word as you go through just one chapter a day. And we'll meet you here next Wednesday in this Bible study. And if you're around, I hope to see you in church this coming Sunday morning, 10:45. We can social distance. Got plenty of room to do that. If you don't feel comfortable getting out yet, please join us on our Facebook page for our live stream. God bless you. We love you. We look forward to seeing you. Have a great day and a great week.